CBNS Bank has digital banking solutions to help you keep up. Check balances, pay bills, transfer funds, manage your card, deposit checks, and much more. Learn more at cbsbank.com. Charges and fees may apply from your cellular service provider. Contact your service provider for information. Member FDIC.
One, two,
believe in UFOs? How about life on other planets? Maybe life we don't know about here on this planet. Do you think our government knows something they won't tell us? Do you believe the government is withholding information from the citizens of the United States of America in an attempt to control us? Then you, my friend, believe in conspiracies. Join David Ernest for the next 60 minutes, along with noted conspiracy theorist Terry Adams, as we bring you something the government does not want you to know. The truth. And the truth of the matter is, Dave's not here.
Dave is not here.
He's probably going to be checking in with us shortly. He is in Mexico as we speak.
Oh, is he?
Yes, he is. And Larry, joining us this evening. I heard you on with Greg.
He asked me. I told him I was coming in to sort of sit in with you tonight, and he said,
Well, come on over.
Just come a little early, he started talking about the bass line of the music, I love bass. I was telling him, you haven't been to my house since I bought my new TV.
You showed me that.
Oh, yeah.
We got it, laid it flat, and played a game of football.
We did.
Yes.
I've got that surround sound. I don't know if
You never did it fired up that night because you wanted me to leave eventually.
Well, I was trying to get you out of the house. But anyway, I said, it's got that big subwoofer and the surround sound. It's like sitting in a movie theater. Uh-huh. But I always loved, AM radio always had better bass than it had highs,
right?
Of course, back in the day, and of course, AM you could hear that bass. You could hear it on FM too, extremely well. But
now, how big is that TV? Is that the one they actually raised the roof and they dropped it
from
a helicopter?
No, it's only 65 inches.
That's a big
TV. Anything bigger than that,
jeez,
I couldn't. In our room, it wouldn't fit. But
wow, that's a big TV.
But it's nice.
It's a TCL.
Yeah,
is that a new brand?
Well, I don't know. I thought it was probably some off-brand. I saw it around, and one of my clients one day was telling me he'd bought a TCL. He said, you need to check this out. He said, they're a lot less expensive than the others, but he says he get 5 stars and everything. So I saw one day at Walmart, you can get them at Best Buy and these different places, but I bought it.
Yeah.
And it is, it's 4K. You can watch, they have some things on it. It's a Roku TV.
Mm-hmm.
So I can pull up 4K video, and it's just stunning to watch.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I bought a TV from, they closed down the bus station.
Yeah.
And if you got a roll of quarters, you can watch all of CSI.
Can you, really?
Yeah, you just drop another quarter.
When I was a kid, where I grew up in Virginia in the mountains, and of course, we didn't have cable. I don't know if cable had been thought of in those days.
Probably not.
But we had to run a line to the top of the mountain, the Appalachian Mountains. The Smokies are part of the Appalachians, so it gives you some idea of the size of the mountains I grew up in. We'd run a line to the top of the mountain, put our antennas up there, and we could get, if we were lucky, we got 2 stations, one out of Bluefield, West Virginia, West Virginia, and the other one out of Beckley, West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we always thought we had a great picture, but if my relatives were alive today that saw that back then, they wouldn't believe the difference that, television has brought.
But yeah, remember when you used to have to go out and turn the antenna?
Yeah, well, ours is on top of the mountain.
We had to
go
up to the mountain, and they put a phone in, and you had to call up there, turn the antenna.
We devised many ways. If it was a really quiet day and we were out in the country, you could blow a horn, and we had this thing, you could barely hear it up there, down in the valley. And sometimes we'd shoot a shotgun, too, boom, boom.
Put a flare up.
We were killing birds, and I don't know.
But you got to watch the news at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, Huntley Brinkley was they were the news guys
there
in those
you
days.
Go.
Yeah.
Well, Terry, how are you?
I'm okay.
Good to see you.
Thanks. Good to be seen. I'd rather be seen than viewed.
There you go. That's a good one.
What, do we have a subject tonight, or are we just freewheeling?
We just always kind of freewheel it. I'm sure we'll be talking about many different things, like the occupational tax. Now, that will affect you, won't it?
from what I understand, everybody in Montgomery, whether you live out of town or in town, will be paying the 1% occupation tax.
If you work here, right?
If you work here.
Right.
As long as you work here, you're going to pay 1%.
Mm-hmm.
And, which my concern is that, you know, it sounds like a good thing, but again, are the dollars they now have being used properly?
Nope. Exactly.
And I get concerned about that.
And you heard Terry, nope, he said.
No, they're not.
Well, I can tell you, this thing happened in Birmingham, and a lot of businesses left Birmingham.
Right.
You know, for other places.
Well, Pike Road, in relation to Montgomery, is a lot closer than Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I've heard several people say, either jokingly or not, that
and,
they might do
right
that.
Now I'm toying with a very seriously the idea of moving my office to Wetumpka.
Mm-hmm. I mean, oh, man, that would be cool.
I live, you know, we live up that way, and so I've really thought about, you know, it'd be closer to us. And, of course, with the change in technology, we used to have a stream of people in our office every day.
Uh-huh.
They don't do that anymore.
Well, we were talking about it one day. Back when you and I worked together, this would have been back in the mid-'80s, if you wanted to get a commercial somewhere, if it's already produced, it's already ready to go.
Right.
What you had to do was put it on a reel-to-reel tape,
right?
Put it in a nice little box, put a little label on it. Either somebody who was going by that radio station had to take it, or they had to send somebody to get it.
Somebody had to come pick it up.
And now it's just a push of a button.
It's the same thing with TV commercials.
Yeah.
If somebody had a TV commercial, if it was done by a TV station or, say, an independent studio, the stations would have to go pick up their television commercials.
Right.
See, none of that happens now. Well, you know what? Back in the 90s, about the time I was starting my company, I was doing national commercials for what was called Georgia Carpet Outlet at the time.
I remember.
And I think it's now where Georgia Floors Direct. I think it's, they're there now, but that was sort of a different company, but I think it's that same building. But I did all the voiceover work for the country.
Mm-hmm.
They had stores in California and Alaska, and I had people come back, was up in the Northeast somewhere, and heard me on the radio.
I heard you up there. I called you one time.
Yeah.
You're on the radio, man.
So I would do all of these things, but I would do, because they were everywhere, I would sometimes do 100 different ads, I mean reels, because of different radio stations.
Don't you remember I was the dude over there putting the labels on them?
Yeah. And you'd have to put them on the reel, label them, and then I'd have to put them in a FedEx envelope and send them out on their penny. Then I have to do all the labels. It was a pain. I remember the first time I was able to email audio out to a radio station, and I was so delighted.
You were just thinking
because
all
I had to do was boom, went straight to the radio station.
How wonderful it is.
Yeah.
Terry, you doing okay, man?
Yeah, man.
Now we've got the dude over in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Is dead now. What's his name?
Soleimani or something.
I want to keep saying Soleimani.
It's so sad.
Soleimani. Well,
we need to have a holiday here in America for him.
Well, aren't they?
To fly the flags and half mast.
Well, didn't they preempt the stories this afternoon to show his funeral on?
Some of them did. I
on
understand.
A local channel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man. Did they? They didn't drop him like they did the Ayatollah.
Okay. And I'm politically a conservative guy, but you know I believe everybody should be treated equally. I don't care about their sexual orientation or their male or female, black, white. I think everybody, they deserve the right to be heard. I mean, I may not agree with some of the things that some people do, but over there, think of what they do with folks who are different to them.
Oh, they kill them.
They kill them.
Just about anybody.
Women are pieces of property. We talked about this earlier. Mm-hmm. They're pieces of property to them.
They throw them.
And yet, these very same people who claim to be, we're for the rights of everybody, they're all crying over the death of this one terrorist.
And they're throwing the gay folks off of buildings. And I'm serious. That's not a joke. That's what they do.
It is absolutely true.
And I'll tell you what now. I don't know if y'all saw it or not. I just saw it on the replay. Was Ricky Gervais the other night.
I thought that was great.
I'm standing up in the living room just cheering. That was just so brilliant.
Yeah.
And so true. And then, what do you call it? Poetic justice. The pipe breaks outside and sewage fills up the red carpet. I'm like,
yeah.
That pretty much covers it.
That's a good statement right there.
Yes. And another thing here, we're talking about the one, is it 1% of your salary is the tax, the
occupational tax? It would be 1% would be your occupational.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Terry and Larry, y'all help me with this. Have you heard the commercials that the our friends over at the casino, the Poarch Creek Indians, are running? And they've got some plan to actually give the state
so many billions,
a billion dollars.
Yeah,
I don't know how they planned it. Well, of course, I'm sure we would have to have a lottery. I mean, I'm sure that's not the lottery, but what is it? They have more casinos.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they don't want the lottery.
No, they don't want the lottery.
They'll give us all that money if we promise not to vote for a lottery.
Right. So they're just going to hand that out.
Hmm?
Wow.
That place, do you realize how much money they put in the bank?
Oh, man.
At least a million a day, the one in Wetumpka.
The one in Wetumpka, from what I understand, you can't even get in there for 6 months into the hotel.
Really?
I mean, it's flat booked, you know, and so they do very well. I wondered how they were going to do when they open.
Mm-hmm. And, I tell you what, they stay busy.
I will say this for the Poarch Creek Indians. They do really give to a lot of very good needs and causes.
Yeah. Now, you know, I worked for a nonprofit.
Yeah.
And I was selling T-shirts one day. And I was telling the lady how much they were. She said, "Can you get me $2,500? I'm like, I sure can. They bought a T-shirt for everybody who worked for the organization.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
Well, you know, people like, I mean, they're good corporate citizens like Hyundai, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know, like at the Alabama National Fair, which I'm hooked in with pretty strong.
Mm-hmm. You're actually the guy that has got the recipe for the popcorn.
I do, and the fudge.
And the fudge.
And the funnel cake.
There's about the elephant ears.
But,
that an Indian elephant or an African elephant?
But the people like at Hyundai, for instance, they give everybody who works there gets to come to the fair.
Uh-huh.
They give them money to spend. They give, you know, the bucks to spend at the fair. They also sponsor usually one of the major concerts at the fair. So they're really good corporate citizens. It's good to have people like that. And like I say, I don't go gamble. It's just something that, you know, I lose my money fast enough anyway.
Two words about the casino and me.
Yeah.
The buffet. I'm
and
talking
about it. Yeah.
That's why I go. Oh man.
I was standing in Vegas one night. I used to do the Jerry Lewis telethon. You might remember years and years ago.
I actually have seen a video of Jerry Lewis just dope slapping you upside the head.
Yeah. Hey, there's some funny stuff out there.
Smacks you around. You and Jim Fife.
Me and Jim Fife. But they would always fly the MCs to Vegas for a few days, and they would, you know, fill us in on everything that's happened with muscular dystrophy and all the advances. And actually, Jerry would come out and talk with us, and we'd do a little promo and with him. And we actually got to go see his show and things like that. But I was standing there one night, and this guy had $40,000.
Mm-hmm.
Four trays, $10,000, and he lost every penny while we stood there and watched him.
I couldn't have watched it.
I mean, $40,000. And he was back the next night again, and so I don't know. I work hard enough for my money, and
he's a big spender, I guess.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
okay. Now I want to kind of move this over toward Terry just a little bit. We've been talking about the guy in Soleimani. Did I say it right?
Soleimani. I think it's Soleimani. Yeah.
The late Mr. Soleimani.
It was the one of the rockets from Iran that shot down the plane too.
Exactly. Now how fishy is that? Now, do you think there was somebody on that plane they didn't want leaving?
That's what I've heard, yeah.
I understand the Canadians are very upset.
It was supposed to be an inerrant rocket, you know, that just went out of control.
What are you standing over there next to the camera going, oopsie? I mean, what? How do you accidentally shoot down an airplane?
Yeah. I don't think the airplane was actually near, was it, the bases where they were bombing.
I don't have any idea. And the whole thing that from what I understand, is they did this because they basically had to do something so they wouldn't look like a bunch of wusses in front of their, you know, folks over there, and nobody got killed. None of the American people were injured or killed or hurt. So, you know, and now everything's calmed down.
Uh-huh.
And of course, you know, nobody wants to say it, but I believe our president, he aced it again.
Well, going back to the greatest president, Ronald Reagan.
Yes.
You know, he went down and slapped some people.
Oh, yeah, Gaddafi.
Gaddafi, and I mean, he didn't put up with anything. And once people found out he was not putting up with anything, it quit.
Now, he didn't, what he did not kill Gaddafi. It just sort of kind of took him down. I think, didn't they kill Gaddafi over there? Didn't his own people kill him?
Hillary.
Well, like I said, his own people.
We've got David Ernest on the line.
Oh, get out of here. David's on the line. Let's get him on. David's down in Mexico.
Is he?
Yeah. Hey, David.
Como esta usted?
Hey.
Okay.
Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, man, we got Larry here with us, and Terry, and Luke, and Chris. Everybody's here. Where exactly are you?
Right outside of Progreso. We just left Progreso, Mexico.
Uh-huh.
Not very modern area.
Mm-hmm.
Telephones wouldn't work there. A lot of tourists, but... It wasn't as advanced as Cozumel, and we've been warned that the weather is going to be really, really bad tomorrow. They're warning us that we got to hang on to the handrails and be very careful, or we could fall down and get hurt.
Well, you don't want to do that. We're supposed to get some bad weather here this weekend, so it's probably you'll see it first down there and then catch it. Well, Matt, hopefully you'll miss it on the way back.
Yeah, they said it's going to be bad tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it'll be bad the next day, but it's supposed to be really rough.
It's probably a part of the same system because it's coming from the west toward us.
Uh-huh.
I know it's going to be hitting the states probably to the west of us, starting today and tomorrow. And then I think what time it gets to Alabama, it's not supposed to be a pretty thing. Yeah.
So have you done anything exciting today?
I did what?
Did you do anything exciting today?
Yes, we got off the ship and wandered around and bought some paraphernalia from Alabama and Auburn, maybe, and, had a good time and spent money and tried to communicate little Spanish that we could use, concerned about here is the weather.
Yeah.
I did buy insurance. I did buy extra medical insurance because I brought my 84-year-old mother with me.
You know, I didn't realize your mom. I didn't know she was 84.
Yeah. Right. But you know, you never can be sure what might happen to you. So I bought extra insurance. And that's the same way about the stock market. You never know what it could do. I read an article today where that the Warren Buffett indicators were flashing crash, which doesn't mean crash, but it's concerning. I mean, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen. And that's the reason why, if you're older, you might want to think about being in safety mode. And that's what we do as asset preservation. We definitely are in safety mode. But if the market goes up, we go up. If it goes down, we don't.
That's why you want to call David Ernest at 279-7431. Now, you are out of the country right now, but you can still call David, and he'll get a message and call you when he gets back.
That's right.
All right.
And, I've learned a lot. Got a lot more information here. I'm going to be able to share, about the Secure Act and various other things. I'm sure everyone was concerned about the missiles that were fired, what that might have done. It seems like the stock market is ignoring that after Trump's little speech.
I think you're right.
It just goes to show you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just goes to show you, you never know what's around the corner.
You never know. So you'll be back with us Monday, right?
That's right. If the weather's... permits me, I'll be there on Monday.
Well, if it's bad weather, let us know. Me and Larry and Terry will load up in something from over at Terry's place. I'm sure he's got something that could get through, and we'll come down there and get you.
Well, it's good to know I got friends that care about
here. Have bail money.
Got a good rowboat.
There you go.
You're going to have a really good rowboat. All right.
Well, we'll figure something out. All right, man, you're kind of breaking up on me a little bit, so we're going to back out. And everything's cool. Everything's lovely. And we'll see you Monday.
Gracias, amigos.
And Tostitos to you, too. We'll see you later, man.
I think he's gone.
I think he went away. Bless his heart. He told me cell services is not real good down there.
Yeah.
And we got another phone call. We've got Crawdad. I know Crawdad's not in Mexico. He's probably over in Elmore.
Buenas tardes, amigos.
Hola.
Estás.
Yeah.
You know, Fred Sanford, whenever Lamont's friend from Puerto Rico would come by and visit.
Julio.
Fred would try to say hi to Julio, and he'd say, bones and notches.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what was it? He had got him some sangria, and he told the waiter, bring me some more garbage.
Yeah, and it was the first time I'd ever heard of something called mofongo, which actually is I guess they say that's the food of Puerto Rico that everybody loves, mofongo.
Yeah. Fred liked it, too.
I have not tried the mofongo. Give me some mofongo.
So how you
Larry,
doing?
Good to hear you there, buddy. How you been?
Doing well. It's good to be here. Rusty had called and told me he was going to be on the air this week, and we tried to find a night for me to come over here, and this was about the only night I had open, so.
Yeah, well, good thing you did. Hey, Terry.
Hey.
Yeah, you know, y'all are very entertaining, informative, and educational all at the same time.
Hard to do.
Don't know how that happened.
Yeah.
You were talking about Libya. You mentioned something about Libya and Gaddafi down there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I did a little reading about something. A name that came up was Otto Skorzeny, if I'm saying it right.
Yeah, you are.
He was part of Adolf Hitler's
bodyguard detail.
Terrorist task force that he built. That guy actually survived all the way to the modern day.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir. He
went
did.
To Argentina, I guess. Didn't he?
No,
he?
not only Argentina. He wasn't just down there. He was a gun for hire, training people on terrorist tactics. He worked with Gaddafi. He worked with the Palestinians, with Yasser Arafat.
Mm-hmm.
He was working in Iran with the Ayatollah peoples, you know, the whatever they call that guard, you know.
Uh-huh. Republican guard.
But the Skorzeny guy, he just would not die. He lived a long time doing his evil deeds, training people.
Well, how old is Soros? He's like 150, isn't he?
I don't know. They must, you know, put him in a little cryogenic cell every night.
Wake him up every now and then to do some mayhem.
It's like one of those Swanson TV dinners. You just heat it up again tomorrow.
Peel back foil
know.
To expose tot.
You know, we
post this piece of history that disturbed me was when I was reading about what was going on with Nasser in Egypt. Otto Skorzeny was down there trying to get the Egyptian government to go with the Russians instead of the Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a close call. It was a very close call. It's kind of like Syria has decided to pal up with Moscow.
Yeah, they got that pipeline going.
And, you know, Nasser, it's a long piece of history, but it's a good thing that Egypt has buried the hatchet and made peace with Israel.
Well, did he ever work with Arafat? Because that would have been Yasser.
Yes, he did. He trained Arafat's people. And something that I'm having trouble remembering is about something about Arafat's son. I'm going to have to go back and read some more about that. But yeah, that's we still, here's the thing with the Palestinian area. If a person from that area goes in and kills somebody, the PLO pays their family indefinitely, gives them money forever.
How about that?
Yeah. It's like Larry was saying, you know, we think differently and
oh, yeah.
There's just no way of turning those people around to thinking.
Well, was it Hillary that said, let's just love them into liking us?
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. Big red button.
You cannot love them into liking us.
We are infidels. They want us
everyone
all
would have to become Muslim.
Yes.
You know, everyone would have to march to their drum. Otherwise, they're not going to like us.
They want us to die.
They do.
Things really changed early on. When Muhammad first got his lessons, he was learning from his uncle, who had been in a monastery in Egypt, who was a Christian monk, and that's who began Muhammad's education. The first writings that Muhammad put, you know, down after he learned how to read and write, It's in there. It's blessings be upon his name, Isa, Jesus, Yeshua. Blessings be upon his name. He was revered as holy, his mother, Mary, the Holy Family, and then something changed. Something changed.
Mm, you are so right. Something did definitely change.
In the very beginning, you know, they recognized the Holy Family, and something happened. I don't know, but you know, the devil, Flip Wilson put it best, the devil made me do it. You
know? I guess so.
Larry, I still have about three LPs in here that I won from your radio station on your guessing shows. Love you, man.
You have more than I have. You know, the bad thing, people would say, you know, I'm sure you have a great record collection.
And I do.
The interesting thing, well, but I never collected vinyl. I mean, I was being on the radio and playing the stuff, giving it away. I brought stuff home from my daughters. My daughters loved it. But I never, you know, I never had a record collection. I regret it. In my hometown, when I started in radio back in 1963, they had music going back for so many years. They had some stuff in there, I'm sure, like original Elvis and a lot of the other stuff when it first... I mean, it was amazing the collection they had. I don't know what happened to it, but it would be worth a fortune today.
Now, let me ask you this. I never asked you this before, but when you started out...
Yeah.
I'm just not making fun, but did they do this to that block programming where they played a little country in the morning?
We did, because it was a small town.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you'd have a little country music, and then about...
Little Marty Robbins, a little Red Soul Vine.
Yeah, we'd play all of that, and then about 8 o'clock in the morning, I remember the station would go to, like, this sort of middle-of-the-road, you know, kind of music for an hour. And then right after 9, we'd play bluegrass music.
Oh, that's funny.
And then we'd have some more country through the middle of the day, and then... in the afternoon at 4 o'clock, we had the 3B special. Now, that's where we played the rock. And I didn't know what 3B stood for.
I was going to ask.
But I did find out later that it stood for Barrel House Boogie and Blues.
So 3B sounded better. Is that what you're saying?
3B, and I had no clue. Everybody got out of school in the afternoon, and we listened to 3B. In fact, my first job, I was 15 years old. I started hanging around the station, did my first radio show. But by the time I got sort of... You know, in junior, I was a junior in high school and then a senior. I was working a lot of hours. And so, especially my senior year, I would be on the radio every afternoon when everybody got out of school. I'd get out early, I'd go down. So I was on the radio playing the music every afternoon after, you know, after school on the 3B special.
That's cool.
So everybody listened to the 3B special. We had no idea that it was Barrel House Boogie and Blues. And, of course, the legendary Aubrey Garber came up with that one.
Oh, really?
You'd have to know. He's like, you know, famous in Grundy, but that's
about
the only place.
Well, if you're famous in Grundy,
you got that's
a start.
Yeah, it's a start. That's about
Grundy,
it.
Grundy, good Lord, I hadn't heard that in a while. Grundy. Is there really such a place, Larry?
There is.
Well, he's the governor.
I'm the governor, Grundy. The Viscount of Vansant, and the Duke of Dry Fork. Actually, Grundy is in southwest Virginia in the Appalachian Mountains. It's a coal mining town. And when I was growing up, quite a booming little area. There's about the city was about 3,000, but most people lived out in the county. The coal miners, you know, it was all coal mining. So we lived out in them hollers. You know, what Loretta Lynn talked about, coal miner's daughter, some holler she lived.
Butcher Holler.
I lived up Dry Fork Holler. And my wife, when I met her, she was up Dill Fork Holler.
Okay, now was her dad a coal miner?
Her dad was a coal miner.
Holy mackerel, you married a coal miner's daughter.
I married a coal miner's daughter. And I told her, I said, if I had not rescued you, you'd be there today living in the double wide.
27 children, 48 grandchildren.
Yeah, but I love growing up there. It was a great place. And it was one of those idyllic, almost Mayberry childhoods, you know, in the mountains. And it would snow. The greatest thing was to wake up in the morning because you didn't know it was snowing because snow would make no noise. And you'd wake up and there'd be like a foot of snow on the ground. You'd turn the radio on
sneaky.
Find out a school had been canceled.
I was going to say, you remember this whenever we do something like that around here? That's the first thing.
He's in school today?
Oh, Lord. I mean, they see one flake of snow here. You know, but up there, see, they still had to go on, but they usually would cancel school, especially if it was a big snow, because the mountains and the roads and where they had to run the school buses. And I was fortunate. I was first one in my family that actually graduated high school. And then my diploma, I actually smeared the ink on it as I was leaving town because it had not dried yet. But I got out of Dodge and right after high school.
And Grundy also.
Yeah.
Larry, I'm going to ask you a segue question here.
Sure.
During those warm summer nights up in the hollers, early in the morning or late as almost the sun was setting, did you ever notice any little wispy, will-o'-wispy-looking orbs of light that might float around up in the hollers?
You know, I never did. I've heard about those things, but I never saw them.
Yes, sir.
But I heard about them.
I actually saw somebody had captured a ball of lightning.
My grandmother got hit by lightning, and it was like a basketball, and
yeah. it's going across the train tracks.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
as it goes across the train track, it arcs to the tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty wild. Yeah. I had actually seen some in person one time before.
That's but pure plasma.
It's odd, man. It's something else.
I've never seen that. I spent many a night having to walk home. I'd be out, and I lived up this hollow, you know, literally. Uh-huh. And there'd come a point where there were no more houses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we ran out of houses and light, and it was like so dark. Sometimes I don't know if I was walking in the creek or in the road, and I would whistle real loud and run. And finally, I'd get to where I could see my house, but there was probably a 3/4 mile or more there, or maybe a mile. That it was just nothing. And it always freaked me out. And if I'd seen a ball of light.
Yeah, that would be to go the other way and spend a night at the radio station.
That's right. That's right.
The house that I grew up in was haunted. The house next door to it was haunted. And that's a story for another day.
Okay. We'll hold it for our next visit here.
Crawdad, we appreciate your call, man.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. That's Crawdad, and we do appreciate when he calls. Yeah. He's a great guy.
He is good, yeah.
And we've got Terry. Is that Terry?
Yes,
Terry. We got Terry on the phone. Terry, are you there? Sorry you had to wait, but Crawdad was telling some stories.
Yeah, is this me?
This is Terry. You're Terry, aren't you?
No, I'm Ray.
Ray?
Yeah, I'm just going to tell you that I'm listening to you. I know the storm's coming up, and I panicked today. It's like, man, Saturday, that's when I go to the state store. So I decided instead of the milk, I went and got me some gin. But I was going to say, y'all was talking about the Iranian, the Iraqi thing when we bombed them in April. And I was actually involved in that. So it brought back some silly memories. Because I was in the Air Force, and I was stationed at Spangdahlem, Germany. And I was on Mobile Reserves. And I actually got to go protect. Hold on a second. I'm on the phone. So I had to go because I was on Mobile Reserves to go protect the jets on the airstrip in England, you know, because we couldn't fly over Italy or something like that. They denied us.
Uh-huh.
And so I actually got the Department of Defense medal from that Libyan thing when we bombed that dude. But, what I did is I sat on the flight line when the F-111s came in and smoked cigarettes to make sure they got out good.
But, okay. Now, how did smoking cigarettes help them get – you were, like, just hanging with them smoking cigarettes?
No, I was sitting on the flight line protecting the plane with the M-16.
And you were smoking cigarettes?
Yeah, every 50 feet.
Which is what you normally do, I guess.
Yeah. So, anyway, I got a medal for that. But the other thing,
smoking
Rusty –
cigarettes.
Yeah, this was back then. This was in, in the...
What year was that?
That was 86 or 87, because then I ended up coming back to Maxwell, and I served the rest of my time, and I got out. And anyway, I stayed here in Montgomery, and that was long years ago, but Rusty knows me. So,
Rusty knows everybody.
But personally, Carl and Beth Nelson...
Uh-huh.
Okay, I don't know if Rusty remembers me, but after Carl died, I was sitting at Beth's house, and Rusty and his wife came in.
Uh-huh. If I saw you, it would click.
Yeah, I had the long hair, and I was sitting there with a Sri Lankan guy who's also a friend of Beth.
A cigarette in his mouth.
Yeah, a cigarette. You're smoking a cigarette. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I wanted to smoke a cigarette then. I quit. But the thing was, is that I can remember, Rusty, you came in the house, and we were sitting there talking, and then you gave a picture to Beth, and it was a picture of her and Carl holding hands. So that brings back. I remember that was such a good event.
I know.
But you don't.
I know Carl. Let me jump in a second. Help everybody out here. I know Carl. I knew Carl from wrestling.
Oh, Carl, I worked with him for 10 years.
Carl was this big old boy, and he wrestled.
Yeah.
And he had a picture of himself. Who was it? Put him up in the rack. Lex Luger. Lex Luger had him in the rack.
Yeah.
And Carl ain't no little fella. Well, Carl also was Santa Claus over there in Slap Out. And he actually belonged to this organization where he's all these different guys are Santa Claus, and he did a thing every Christmas, and the kids came out and got to see Santa and get their picture made. Well, Carl passed away several years ago, and he is remembered as the Slap Out Santa, and he was friends with Mick Foley, and he's worked with a bunch of them. See, when the wrestling would come to town, they would get the local guys would be jobbers, and they would go in and get beat up. They get paid for it.
Yeah, $500-$300 a night.
I saw the Rebel Donnie Martin almost got his nose took off of his face. Biggest grin you ever seen in your life. He was so happy. He got out there and got that was the thing, get out there and get seen. And then when you have a wrestling show around, that's that dude that got beat up. We seen him.
Yeah.
And, of course, and somebody told me one of the guys is down in, not Hope Hall, but Snowden, got a restaurant down there.
Yeah, that's Skullmaster.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name. Yeah, he worked for the school system doing air conditioner.
Pete body slammed me one time.
Yeah, and dude, you know who I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But you know the thing about Lex Luger, Carl told me, he says, man, after that match, he said after the match was over, Lex Luger's backstage, and he says, dude, he says, I think I broke every abdominal six-pack I had in me trying to lift your big ass. he said, I give you credit. So, y'all have a good night.
All right, man, call us up anytime.
Yes, sir. Right,
thanks a lot. Man, that's some years ago right there. Oh, and we got another call. Terry, it's like you're kind of getting left out here.
No, I'm enjoying listening to Larry's stories.
Oh,
this is great.
Well, we got stories.
I'm full of lame stories.
Oh, we all are.
I mean, one of the funniest things, when we were doing radio together in the morning, there was you, the news guy, and then usually Leslie Bailey was part of the crew,
Blake.
And then there was Blake, the news guy.
And then there was the traffic guy.
Then we had traffic. We had, for a while, we had the sports guy. What was his name? Bob Barnes. And then we had a traffic person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had a big morning show.
Mm-hmm.
But we'd all get in the room, and if we all came in, and even if some of us were in a bad mood, by 6 o'clock, mm-hmm. we were all in a great mood. Because we'd get in there and start laughing and talking about what we were going to do, and by mm-hmm. 6 o'clock, we just carried it into the studio and kept it going for the next 3 hours.
We had a lot of fun. And speaking of the days over there, who's on the phone? Is that
Mickey?
Mickey, hang on just a second. I sent you this. I don't know if you've seen it. Peggy Pulley. Now,
yes.
You remember Peggy?
Oh, absolutely.
Anybody
who ever worked in radio in the 70s and 80s would know Peggy.
Peggy listened around to everybody. She
right.
knew everybody's name.
And their birthday.
And their birthday.
Anniversary.
Their mama's name.
Their children.
And
she knew it all.
All their children and all their names,
yeah.
To quote the poet
but
Roger Miller.
She, it was a, I mean, I was, it was not a day until Peggy called us.
Oh, she'd call back, and if you're busy, she'd say, what are you doing? And you say, I'm busy, Peggy. All right, bye. And she'd hang up. She'd talk to you. But Walter and
her
I
brother.
Think it's his sister, or live over in Millbrook, and they got hit by a car the other day.
Really?
Yeah, there was a story on WSFA, because just what we were talking about, everybody in the media knows them.
Yeah, I'd wondered what had happened.
Yeah, I sent you a story.
Oh, okay.
It's, check it out. Email and stuff. Now, who we got here? We got Mickey. Mickey is on the phone. Oh, Mickey.
You're so fine. Mickey, you blow my mind, hey, Mickey.
How y'all doing tonight?
All right. How are you?
All right, so hey, I used to work with Carl. Carl was a good dude. He wrestled as Mad Max.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he sure did. He was a good guy.
Now, when he wore the mask, he was Mad Max, and his name was Carl, C-A-R-L. But when he wrestled without the mask, he was K-A-R-L Nelson.
Yeah.
I think they were trying to kind of go toward a Russian kind of thing, you know. You know, the day when you got to have a gimmick, you know. But Carl was just a good fellow. He was a good guy. He come over to the house one night. He and his wife came over, and we were going to have spaghetti. He said, don't get no meat. I got some meat. And he brought deer meat.
Deer meat, yeah.
And we didn't tell the ladies that we put deer meat in the spaghetti. Of course, we heard about it later, but yeah.
Well, they probably didn't notice. You remember Cat Collins?
Oh, heck yeah. That's how I got into that.
Cat worked for me at the radio station and really talented, you know, radio announcer.
Mm-hmm.
But Cat wrestled.
Yeah.
And so one night he said, I want you to come down and be guest ring announcer with Burrhead Jones.
Uh-huh.
So I go to it was the old Civic Center downtown.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sitting there with Burrhead, which was an experience in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so and they had I think it was the Australian Headhunters and some other. It was a tag team match. And it was really funny to sit there on the side and first of all hear Burrhead, because Burrhead would say, you know, we got a 3-minute limit. Time limit and this kind of stuff, or whatever it was. And he had no watch, but he'd just sit there. And when he was ready for him to quit, he said, 30 seconds. You know, he didn't have a watch, not a clock in sight. And these guys were up in the ring giving cues to each other. So, you know, they're saying, no, body slam me. Okay, boom, you know. And run our heads together. Boom, you know. And but it was funny. It was funny to go down there and sit in and do that.
I was at a show one night, and somehow I was mostly the announcer. I did get knocked around a little bit, but they knew I'd do it, and they didn't, I didn't care. It didn't hurt me. Anyhow, Burrhead's standing there, and he's wearing his Super Burrhead outfit. And he's eating a bowl of beans and rice. Standing there, got this styrofoam bowl and plastic fork. He's eating beans and rice. Burrhead's supposed to do a run-in. That, you know, that's where you run in and interfere in the match.
Right.
Well, I'm standing there and said, yeah, so-and-so's happening. Well, he's missing his cue. He turns around. He looks at me. He says, hold my beans. And he takes off. So I'm standing there holding Burrhead's beans and rice while he's out there doing the run-in. But Burrhead was a nice, well, you know, nice fella.
He would call the morning show. We'd be sitting there, and the phone would ring, and I'd pick it up. And he'd say, Larry. I'd say, yeah, Burrhead. So what's going on, Burrhead? You know what, Fireman, wear them red suspenders, don't you? I said, no, why? Hold the pants up. He'd just hang up. He'd just call with something like that.
Oh,
and
man.
Just hang up.
And he was such a nice fella. Usually the thing was about the wrestlers, they were such nice guys.
They were nice guys. I love Burrhead. And, Burrhead was a true, personality. Mm-hmm.
And the thing was... Sometimes, if they were even wrestling each other, trying to kill each other, they rode into the matches together. They would show up in the same cars.
Well, the night that I was there was these two guys. They were wrestling each other, and they had these valets. Actually, it was their wives.
I know who you're.
And ever who was supposed to lose, ever who lost, his valet had to become the other wrestler's valet.
And I think one of them was the exotic Adrian Street.
Yes, he tried to kiss me.
Yeah.
But so anyway. I was getting ready to leave after that match. And so they get through. They're walking out through the crowd, still putting on the show, and I'm sort of behind them.
Uh-huh.
The instant we walked through the door and the door was closed, they hugged each other and said, we'll see you in a week.
Yeah.
And they took off.
I tell you know. What, man. It's
they went straight to the Waffle House together.
Probably. Yeah. Now, the thing is, and you got to be careful, though. Excuse me. Wrestling is not fake. You can get hurt.
Oh,
they are dropping each other.
They are athletes.
But it is scripted. They know what's going to happen
before
they get up there. But it's the way it's executed and the way it's performed.
If you enjoy it, go. Yeah, it's
you got some folks.
It's entertainment.
Yeah, you got some folks that you're like, eh. The thing is, I've noticed nobody has a good gimmick anymore. I mean, used to you had the Stomper, the Mongolian Stomper.
Are they even still doing wrestling today like they used to?
They've started a new one. This All Access? You probably know better than I do, Mickey. It's got a lot of. I saw Arn Anderson last night on there. He's managing the Rhodes Boys.
Yeah, I gave up the wrestling a long time ago.
Did you? Yeah,
it was fun, though.
And what about Burrhead? Did he pass away?
Burrhead moved up north to North Carolina. He has passed away.
Okay.
He went to that great ring in the sky.
Yeah.
But I think he went up to take care of his dad. His dad was real elderly, and then
well, you know, he used to do that A&M Furniture Mark commercials,
did.
Like and you know, super good, burr head flying through the air,
credit hassle on the bypass, and he'd fly over there,
he'd fly over there, take
good
care
credit,
of it.
Bad credit,
no credit,
no credit. He was lots of fun.
I still say that today because, and nobody knows what I'm talking about, but you know, it was just. It was Burrhead.
I mean, you know, it's somebody will understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Hey, Mickey, thanks a lot, man. Call us up anytime.
Okay, thank you, sir. Y'all have a good evening.
Bye-bye. Yeah, the wrestling was a lot of fun. I was on the air with you when I was doing that. You know, I would go, what do you call it, announce it on the weekends and stuff. It'd be on TV and everything.
I remember Cat Collins, he wrestled, and he was telling me, he said that he was in a match, and whoever who won was supposed to going to win $10,000.
Yeah.
But it was like a free-for-all. And he said he didn't really realize it. All of a sudden, he looked, he was the last one left in the ring, and he actually won the match. He didn't get, you know, $10,000.
Right.
But he went out, like, the next week and bought a brand-new car. So everybody he won that $10,000 and bought him a new car.
Now, I saw one night, same thing. They had a bag of money, and the guy was supposed to win, and he won. And somebody got it away from him, and they're running through the crowd. They probably had $100 worth of ones in there, and they're throwing them ones in there.
Yeah.
And people just diving for this money.
That was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
You know?
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Terry?
Yes.
There you are, sir. I'm glad
we get Terry in.
We were talking about the tax a while ago. I'd like to get back to that, the 1% tax. Now, let's say that's 1% of your income, plus you're paying, if you're shopping here, you're paying a 10% tax.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if you're, you know, eating here, you're paying whatever that kind
that's
of tax
10%.
Is this something you think is... will this be something they just kind of pass through like they did the gas tax?
Probably.
Or will they put it to a vote? Will they let people vote? Because you know people will vote against it.
Of course. That's why they're not going to put it to a vote.
Uh-huh.
It's the city council will make that decision.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
And I think what concerns people more than anything is that, you know, I've seen things like, you know, when they talked about raising property taxes. And at one time I thought, okay, I'd be in favor of this years and years ago to help our schools, you know, because we got really low property tax here.
Yeah.
But people voted it down, and you come to find out they don't trust our politicians.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't.
I wonder why.
Well, yeah. The money that they get in is, I mean, you think about the schools and they're throwing more money at the schools.
Oh, well, yeah. And, you know, throwing money ain't always.
And that's not going to necessarily heal the problem. And I understand that. You got to have. It does take money, and I see these teachers that have to, you know, bring their own stuff in, and what the kids have to get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was a kid growing up, we never had to do any of that stuff.
No.
You know, ever.
I remember when I was in school in, like, the first, second grade, which was 4 years. But anyway, I think we paid $10 or $15 at the first of the year. Of course, back then, $10 or $15 was a pretty good little bit of money. And they bought everything with that.
Yeah.
But
I don't think we, back in my day, didn't do any of that. We just went out and bought our books and went to school. And
I got an idea here. I want to see what you guys think about this.
Okay.
Because I really believe this could solve two problems. We come up, we don't do the occupational tax. We do the you're being a butt
tax. Well,
that
raises a lot of money.
If
like
somebody's
that.
Being a butt, they get taxed.
Yeah.
And hopefully either they'll quit doing that or they will move out of town. And, of course, we'll have to do another tax after that. But
there's it's the Popeye movie, you know, where they're doing the tax. Remember the
50 cents standing around tax.
That's
exactly right.
And that's the way it's gotten to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything's getting, I mean, we're paying so much in taxes and the gasoline tax is getting, you know, incredible.
Well, I'll tell you something that is worth every cent of the tax that you pay on it is if you go out and see Terry Adams.
Yeah.
And pick up something to ride around and have some fun on.
He's got the fun stuff over
yes.
there.
Terry, what would you suggest this time of year? I know it's sort of winter, whatever kind of weather we have. But somebody said the weatherman be throwing up numbers like the Powerball, 70, 30, 50, 20, you know, like that.
Yeah.
But what would be something now to get ready for spring? Say?
You can ride jet skis here year-round.
Really?
Yeah.
Even in the cold water,
yeah.
People? Really?
Get a wetsuit. Yes. People do it all the time at Lake Jordan.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Really.
Oh. Okay.
Jet ski.
Okay. Now, maybe I'm not the jet ski guy. Maybe I want to stay on the dry land. What you got?
pretty much anything you want.
Got the four-wheelers and the side-by-sides.
Side-by-sides have kind of taken over from four-wheelers. We don't sell near as many four-wheelers. Side-by-sides are easier. It's like a truck.
You can get more people in there. My nephew had one, and he got me and his son. So this would be my great-nephew.
Yeah.
We're flying through the woods. I'm thinking, this is just, we're going to die. But those things are so nice, and I guess they're really good for the hunters and everything.
Yeah.
And Terry, your store is out there on the boulevard.
Mm-hmm. Eastern Boulevard.
Eastern Boulevard.
Been a fixture for a long time. Mm-hmm.
You've been there a while.
Since 96.
And the little short mean woman is really the one out there.
Said that right. Yeah. You're the only one that's gotten it right.
I thought about it for a minute. I wanted to get it right.
Everybody's scared of her.
She speaks awfully, but she carry a big stick.
Let me ask you, Terry. I heard a story, and maybe I'm opening wounds. You had a... you had a guy that did your advertising at agency, a guy named Don Cow.
Yeah.
And I get, Don's still around. Yeah. But they were filming a commercial out in the woods. You remember that? And I think SFA was doing it, and that's when the cameras cost like $30,000 or $40,000. Yeah. Somebody ran over a camera. Did that really happen?
I don't remember anybody running over a camera.
I had heard that somebody had run over a camera.
$30,000, $40,000. I don't remember it either.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, I don't remember that.
I mean, it might have been Don. I don't know.
It could have been. I better not say anything.
Well, I'll throw it out.
That's right. Pass. That's right.
No. What you wanted me to ask about horsepower, firepower?
As far as I know, that ended at the end of the year.
Because, that was a promotion you had?
Yeah, we had a promotion where if you buy a side-by-side, any new Polaris side-by-side, you get a SIG 9mm pistol free.
Oh, cool. Yeah. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was.
That'd be worth it.
We are having an open house. Corporate Kawasaki's bringing a bunch of stuff. The last day of this month, which is a Friday, and then the first day of February, which is a Saturday. So you can come demo ride some stuff.
So would there be, nice-looking ladies out there in bathing suits standing next to these...
Rusty, I'm married to the little short mean woman. Do you really think that's going to happen?
Well, you could tell her they snuck them in.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's all, but honey, I was these.
This is corporate.
It's out of my control. I've tried that one before.
David's on the phone. Yeah. And we better.
Yeah, before we run out of time,
your phone number, sir.
271-5500.
271-5500. All right. I need to come by there and just hang out one day and come see you. All right, let's talk to David and see what's going on with him. David, you there, buddy?
I am. Larry, this is David Grimes. It's good to hear your voice.
Hey, David, how are you?
I'm doing very well. You've got a voice made for radio. You know that.
I tell you what, and the face that's made for it as well, I can tell you that.
I won't go there. Before I forget it, say hello to Sarah for me.
I will. Now, we were in JC's together, weren't we, David?
Yes. Long time ago.
The old Montgomery JC's,
We were talking about that last night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I want to make two comments. One, the occupational tax, the problem I have with it primarily is the fact that the working people are paying the tax, and people that don't work are not paying anything.
Exactly.
And that's a problem. And another thing I wanted to bring up, we talk about the grocery tax. The grocery tax for Alabama is 4%.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was in the legislature, I used to talk about the fact that that would be like you get a free gallon of milk for every $100 you spend. Mm-hmm. And that is not going to make the house payment. No. Now, another thing is that tax, sales tax, goes into the education trust fund. That 4% generates over $400 million into the education trust fund. Mm-hmm. Now, if we take that tax off, where's that money going to come from?
Oh, the occupational tax.
Yeah,
that's what they're talking about.
Well, no, the thing is, that's only going to generate enough money to give the police a raise.
Have you ever heard? You ever heard those saying, "Robbing Peter to pay Paul"? Somewhere between Peter and Paul, somebody dropped the ball and the money never got there. That's what it sounds
like. Have y'all noticed how poor old Peter is nowadays?
Exactly.
I think that's what, I just thought about something. That may be where the slogan petered out came from.
Anyway,
but seriously, the thing is about this grocery tax, I understand the egregiousness of the word is, but that money has to come from somewhere. We struggle every year, the legislature does, to give the teachers a raise if they can. 1% costs, I think it's $70 million is what it costs a year to give teachers 1%.
Wow.
Okay, so if you take out $400 million out of the Education Trust Fund, there's going to be a big hole there, and it's going to have to come from somewhere.
So anyway, I just want to put that in. Nobody ever talks about that.
You're exactly right.
And I remember
right.
one night, not to throw John Knight under the bus, but one night when he was really struggling with that, we were down at the post office one night after the session. He said, David, I really need your vote on this. I said, John, it is not a good thing to do because of the things I just explained. And he said, I know it's not, but it's good politics. Now, that gets back to what y'all were talking about a while ago, that politicians, that's one reason that I didn't get along with a lot of people down there. I got along with most of them. I really did. But I was told one time that I had too many Democrat friends. And I said, I don't have Democrat friends. I have friends, and some of them are Democrats.
There you go.
Exactly.
But, I mean, I don't label my friends by the headgear they wear or the jersey that they wear. Anyway, I enjoyed very much the 8 years I spent down there. But these little things like this bother me, that these little things about $400 million out of the Education Trust Fund, people need to know that. Uh-huh. Anyway, that's it. I think that was 3 cents worth,
guys. Yeah. All right. Thank you, David. Appreciate
thank
it,
you,
buddy.
Sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And we've got about a minute. Stan has been waiting, and we need to talk to Stan. Stan, sorry you had to wait, and about a minute and a half.
Hey, I'll just make it quick. I just went back in time. I'm riding down the road, just got off the second job, but Larry and you talk about work. This is nothing but compliments, but Burrhead Jones and uh-huh. No Credit and Theory Adams Show, just like you guys, this is probably the funniest, most I've enjoyed this show since I got my truck listening. It's just unbelievable. I just want to say how much I like all three of you guys and carry on the good work. And I just, like I said, I just felt like I was back in the late 60s, early 70s there for a while.
All right, sir. Well, we appreciate the call.
Thanks, Stan.
We thank you for liking us. And keep listening and call us anytime.
I'll keep listening. Thank you all.
Thank you, sir. All right, man. Well, it is about time for us to get out of here.
We've got a fast hour.
It goes by fast when you're having fun.
Yeah.
Terry will be back with Greg next Thursday, and he hangs around with us on Thursdays. David will be back Monday night from his trip down to Mexico. What you got coming up, man? You still doing the advertising?
Still doing the ad agency
got,
thing.
Got the now what are you calling it these days? Because it's
SMI.
Because I was thinking SMS. That's something
no,
else.
SMI.
And your lovely daughter works with you.
She does, and we enjoy it and got some really great clients. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them advertises on Greg's show because it's so good. You know,
the
food outlets. And
that works well. Oh, yeah, we shop the food outlets.
And people like that. And let's see, who else do I? He does Montgomery Paint and Body and Kaiser Fine Home Furnishings.
Yeah, you'll be wiser.
And you know what was funny? I'll tell you a funny story. I don't want to run out of time.
We got about 30
seconds. I went out there, and I told Stella, who runs the store, and I said, I want to put you on the Greg Budell show. She met Greg, and she never listened. She said, I don't know about him. And today, she says, I get more off Greg Budell than I hear about him.
Yep.
Everywhere I go, people talk about Greg and him talking about Kaiser.
Well, there you go.
And so she loves Greg.
All right, well.